This morning, the teaching is entitled Lost, Found, and Rejoicing. And our text for today is going to be Luke chapter 15. I don't know if you remember. There, we got a few. Remembered my assignment for everybody was to read Luke 15. And we're going to go there predominantly the whole morning. This passage contains three parables that really function as one message. You have the parable of the lost sheep. You have the parable of the lost coin. And you have the parable of the lost son, and we'll get into that. Most people know that parable as the prodigal son, and I am not hep on that title, and I'll tell you why as we get into it. As we go through these three parables today, we need to keep in mind the sheep belong to the shepherd. The coin belonged to the woman, or we'll see, it's the wife. And the son belonged to the father and his household. Each of the lost were more valuable, more profitable when they were back where they belong, with those to whom they belong to. And these parables, as we get into all three of them, were intended for two groups of people. One group was the publicans and the sinners, and one group was the Pharisees. But they were both there. And Jesus was teaching to both of them. Did Jesus love the Pharisees? Absolutely. Did he love the sinners? Absolutely. Even the publicans? Yeah. As hated as they were, as they would sell out their own countrymen, siding with the Romans in the tax collecting, and oftentimes they were not honest, and they made ill-gotten gain from the people that he lived, the community he lived in. The publicans and the sinners came to hear him, and the Pharisees were murmuring against him because he had the audacity to receive sinners and to eat with them. Mm-hmm. So as we get into this, remember that a parable is a story or an illustration based on real life, everyday things in order to teach spiritual truths. These are not fables. Fables have fantastical things like talking dogs and reasoning donkeys. It's not a myth presenting a fictitious story as fact. You could say like jolly old Saint Nick would be a myth. So as we get going here, we'll start with the parable of the lost sheep. Verse 1, chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake, Jesus spake, this parable unto them. Unto who? Publicans, sinners, and the murmuring Pharisees. What man of you, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Something to take note on. The word wilderness just basically means an uninhabited land or a land not suitable for cultivation but quite suitable for pasture. So he's not like he doesn't care about the 99. You know, let him loose in the wilderness, let the wild beasts eat him. Verse 5. And when he hath found it, when he found the lost sheep, interesting, if you look at the wording, it says, he lost the sheep. Now, sheep wander away and everything, but who's responsible for the sheep? The shepherd. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, doing what? Rejoicing. We heard that this morning. Manifestation, rejoicing. When he found the sheep which belonged to him, he put the sheep on his shoulders and was rejoicing. One of the other things we'll see as we go through these three parables, that the value of what was lost was great, deeply valued by the person who they belong to, deeply valued. Put it on his shoulders, and it was rejoicing. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, sinners, and publicans, I say unto you, Pharisees, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He's speaking to both groups, right? The Pharisees, in their minds, didn't think they needed anything to repent about. They were clueless about the condition of the inside, the condition of their hearts. I think about the one time when he talks about the Pharisees, Jesus relates them as like unto whited sepulchers, whited graves, completely white and nice on the outside, clean on the outside, death and uncleanness on the inside. When Jesus was teaching on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, at one point he says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to teach about the condition of the heart. Yeah, maybe you didn't outwardly do these things, but inwardly. Maybe you didn't murder anyone, but inwardly you hate your brother. You hate your sister. Right? The inside, the heart. Can you imagine the Pharisees who really thought they were a much better and even murmured against Jesus that he would even receive the sinners and the publicans and that he would eat with them? And then it says more joy is expended in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth more than the 99. More than the 99. than the 99 Pharisees who themselves stay put on their self-righteousness, refusing to see the true condition of their hearts and the need for repentance and ultimately the need for a Savior. They didn't see it. You can see this over and over in the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 7, a Pharisee invites Jesus to dinner. And someone kind of crashes the dinner. It's a woman. It's a sinner. She is described as a sinner. And she knows the value of repentance and the preciousness of deliverance and salvation and forgiveness. And she anoints Jesus' feet with her tears and wipes them with the woman's glory, her hair, where the Pharisee didn't do any. thing. And she walked away forgiven. She walked away whole. The Pharisee didn't get it. And Jesus had to teach him, had to teach the Pharisee about it. Think about how precious that which was lost is and how much joy there is when they're found. You know, oftentimes people use these three parables to teach about reaching unbelievers. But remember, each one of these three things that were lost belonged to the person that lost them. They belonged to. They belonged. They went astray. There's great joy when they're found, when they come back. I think about this. I think about the forgiveness. I think about the welcoming arms of our Father God when we truly repent and come back to Him, how wonderful His mercy and His grace is. Verse 8, another parable. The parable of the lost coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now, to the Western mind, we may look at this and say, one coin. And you're going to call your neighbors and your family and your friends over, and we're going to rejoice about this. It's not understanding the lands and times of the Bible. I've got a picture here for you. And I want to show you what the 10 coins look like. I don't know if you can see that. They're on like a little chain. And they're worn. Oftentimes they would have the crest of the family of the husband. They were presented to the wife when they were married. In fact, if we look at this verse, we look at verse 8, and it says, either what woman? The Greek word that's translated here, woman, isn't just any woman. It's specifically a wife. You can see a wife would lose these coins. These coins were very precious. In today's society, it would be like a woman losing her engagement diamond and her wedding band, especially if the engagement diamond was like great granny's passed down. You see? It would be a big deal. The actual value of the coin is not that much apart from the set. But as part of the set, those coins were extremely valuable to a wife. And so now you can see, I left a dime out on the in the middle of the walkway in the driveway out there. I was wondering if anybody saw it when you came in today. I just wondered. I put it out there. You see just a dime laying on the ground. It's just one dime. It's just a dime. This is not just a coin. This is a special coin. It had great value to the wife. And when she found it, there was great rejoicing. Be like someone who lost their diamond in their wedding band. And they found it in the trap in the sink under the bathroom, right? They found it. I got it. It was a big deal. So you can see, it belonged to the wife. And it's wife. It's not just one. It's wife. Belonged to the wife, having 10 pieces of silver. Just like the 10 pieces of silver that I just showed to you. Special. Special. And if she lose one piece, because guess what? If you lose one piece, is it complete? No. If you lose one piece, she would light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together. Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. It would be a great deal. Verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that does what? Repenteth. One sinner that repenteth. Can you imagine what it must have been to the hearts of the sinners and publicans that came to hear Jesus' words, to see how much value God's angels place on their lives, just like the lost sheep. More joy over one sinner that repents, more than the 99 who don't think they need to. They're right by their own standard. Verse 11. This is one that's called many people. When you look at this, maybe even on the top of your Bible, you might even see the prodigal son. Language. Language is important. I want you just, and you don't say it out loud, but I want you to think about, well, what does prodigal mean? What does prodigal mean? For most of Christianity, they think someone who's left and now is coming back. The word prodigal, it means a person who is wasteful and extravagant and lavish in spending. Is that what this parable is? Is that the point of this parable? The boy, he really wasted some money, that son did. But we're going to call it prodigal son. That's what we're going to call it. That's what we're going to emphasize. Remember, in all three of these parables, they function as a unit. Something that belonged to someone was lost. Something that belonged to someone was found, and there was great rejoicing when the something which belonged to someone was found. Great rejoicing. Why? Because of the value of what was lost. And that is why I call this the parable of the lost son. So let's keep going on it. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, is that prodigal? That is prodigal. Is that the point of this? No. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. What do you know about swine to a Jewish person? It doesn't get any, it's unclean. It is unclean. So much so that they would count the person that's attending to the flock of pigs as one of them. If the guy had 10 pigs and he's tending the pigs, they would look and they would say, whoop, there goes 11 pigs. This is the guy's son, right? And he would have feigned, have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and even to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. He arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. What do you think the father was doing all that time? Wanting him to come back. He anticipated him coming back. Coming back where? To him. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want to say, how many hired servants are you going to run to and fall on the neck? And no, right? And the son said unto him, he had this all rehearsed, right? The quote-unquote prodigal son had this all rehearsed. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. What did the best robe signify? What does the ring on his hand signify? Yep, family. Son, not hired servant. So think about the restoration. Was it partial? What was it partial? No. Just like the lost sheep, what did that shepherd do to bring him back? Put it on his shoulders, bringing it back. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. And he was what? Lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. This my son. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. And he was lost, and he is found. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what's up? What does this mean? Verse 27. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28, speaking about the brother, and he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out. Interesting. What did the father do for the first son when he saw him? He ran and met him to bring him back. The second son wouldn't go in. So what's the father do? Comes out to get him. Right? His father, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet you never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Notice these next words. But as soon as this thy son, your son, not my brother, this thy son, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots and has killed, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have, you might even say, and all that I am, right, is yours. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Remember, all three of them that was lost, all three, the sheep, the coin, the son, belonged to the person looking for them. Do you remember how we said there's more joy in heaven for one sinner that repenteth and comes back than the 99 just that were there? Do you see how it was necessary for this father to make merry? What do you think that did to the heart of the son who was lost? I'm still valued. I'm still valued. I'm still my father's son. That it didn't mean that the father loved that son any more than the other. Think about the father came out to find out why the brother wasn't in there. Not to chastise him, but he should be here with me. And that's the point. And many times these parables are used for trying to win lost souls today. But they belonged already to the person who lost them. Do you think God would have joy in his heart that the angels were rejoicing over one believer that lost their way and departed and was lost and then repenteth and is found and comes back to the fold? You know, the brother that was lost belonged to the brother that stayed there, the older brother. He was still his brother. He lost a brother. See? And the beauty of these three parables working as a unit showed just how wrong the Pharisees were in murmuring against Jesus for receiving sinners. It says in Matthew that, do you remember that time when the Canaanite woman wanted Jesus to heal her daughter, but she was a Gentile? You know, I'm not here for the dog. You basically called her a dog because that's what they thought of the Gentiles. And he says, I am sent only for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, these sinners and publicans that were coming, they belonged to Israel. They were the lost sheep of Israel. And that's who Jesus Christ was sent to save, to bring back to God. And it is so amazing when we think about Jesus Christ is... He declares that he is the good shepherd. Remember in John 10 and 11? He's the good shepherd. He would lay down his life for the sheep. How much value do each and every one of us have? Think about when we have strayed, when we've stepped out, by our own pig-headedness or whatever, our weakness, that God would welcome us back if our hearts truly repent. I don't want to be apart from you anymore, God. I want to be right with you. All those teachings we've been doing about reconciliation, there's no separation on God's part. You know what sin does on our part? It separates us from that rich, full relationship, what it can be with God. And yet, you see the value of those that belong to God in God's heart. And the joy he has when we turn away from the sin unto him. That's all repent means. It means turning away towards. So many people have a connotation about repenting. It's like this thing. But it's turning away from sin, turning towards God, to turn towards him. And I think about how beautifully Jesus Christ teaches this and what that must have meant to the sinners and the publicans, and maybe pricked the hearts of some of the Pharisees at the same time. Amen? Amen.